Okay, we have on the air James Friedman, and he is the filmmaker for the film Glickman, and it's about a champion sprinter who was dropped from the U.S. relay team in the 1936 Olympics in response to demands of the Nazi regime. Welcome, James.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on the air. And we have Harry here. So, Harry, why don't you fire away with your first question?
Oh, certainly. James. Yeah. Thanks very much for joining us, James. And
my pleasure.
The first thing I'd like to ask you is really how you Monty Glickman is not a character who was really, really very well known, but he certainly was, as you point out, in the 40s and 50s as a sports commentator. How did you get involved with this project? How did you come to it?
Many years ago, I was a senior in high school, and my brother was producing Marty Glickman's late-night radio show at WNEW, which is a very famous station in New York.
Yeah.
It was actually a groundbreaking show. It was one of the first all-sports call-in shows in the nation. And my brother had to go in the Army Reserve, and he told Marty, and I was in the booth that day watching my brother, and Marty looked in the booth, and he said, you know, Jimmy can do the show. And I turn around expecting to see another Jimmy sitting there, and there wasn't. And at 17 years old, he taught me how to produce his show. He taught me to write copy and get it off the wires and schedule commercials and screen calls. And he never once treated me as anything other than his producer. I went on to spot football games for him for the New York Giants and New York Jets in the booth with him whenever he was in the town that I was living in. And that's how I met Marty. And I had been a writer for many years, or have been a writer for many years in Hollywood. My writing partner was had her second child, was taking a few years off, and I decided to make a movie about Marty.
That's wonderful.
Tell a story.
Yeah. And how long did the movie actually take you?
The movie took about 3 years to do, most of the time begging for free footage from organizations that don't like to give free footage. So, you know, most of the time was just finding footage because his life story spans 70 years of, you know, from the 1936 Olympics all the way to 2000. So I pretty much had to find something from every decade. So that was most of my time.
It is an extraordinary story.
Incredible.
It is an extraordinary story, just by hearing the few words that you're saying here. You know, from the 1936 Olympics, one remembers, if one doesn't remember, one knows about Jesse Owens.
Yeah.
Who also would not have been a friend of the Hitler regime, quite obviously. And yet he both participated and ran off with about three gold medals. And poor old Marty never even got to the games, being Jewish. But it does strike me anyhow that he had a great career after the war, both as, first of all, as a runner, I suppose, and certainly as a radio commentator. That's more than Hitler did. So you know,
he was at the games the day of his event. What was happening was, you know, Hitler obviously had his master race mentality, and the black athletes of America were dominating the games. And the thought of two Jews, there was another Jewish runner, Sam Stoller, running on, you know, standing on the winning podium was more than Hitler wanted to take. So Avery Brundage, who was the head of the U.S. Olympic Committee and a Nazi sympathizer, many people believe behind the scenes arranged that Glickman and Stoller would be dropped the day of the race, and they didn't get a chance to run. In a race, it was the relay race, the 400 relay that the America's team was certain to win. As Marty said, we'll win by 15 yards, and they won by 15 yards.
Without him and without Stoller.
Without him, yes.
Oh, that's remarkable. So that's that's a great triumph, really. Yeah.
Yeah, and he never got to run because the war happened and there were no Olympics in 1940 and 1944.
That's right, yeah. During the war, was he just a soldier, or did he do radio?
He did. He enlisted in the Marines and fought in the Pacific in 1943, and he served his country. And the guy was, to use a Yiddish term, the guy was a mensch. You know, a lot of people would have been bitter at 18 years old to have your dreams crushed by racism and prejudice.
Yeah.
And that's what really the thread of the heart of the movie is about, what happens to an 18-year-old when your dreams are crushed like that. Do you become bitter? Do you overcome them as Marty did, and that's at the heart of the story.
You also got some remarkable people giving testimony about Glickman. You've got Bill Bradley, Jim Brown, Bob Costas, Frank Gifford, and a lot of usual suspects. So tell us how you got to them and the role that they play as they talk about their colleague and friend.
Basically, Marty got me to all these people by saying his name. As soon as I said I'm making a documentary on Marty Glickman, the doors just, spread wide open because he mentored Marv Albert, and he taught Marv Albert. Marv Albert was the ball boy for the New York Knicks at age 14, and he literally taught Marv Albert how to announce, and he mentored Bob Costas and also a little bit Mike Breen. He was very close with Bill Bradley. Also Frank Gifford, who was a famous Hall of Fame football player for the New York Giants when Marty was announcing for them, later became an announcer himself. People like Jerry Stiller and Elliot Gould grew up idolizing Marty Glickman because they were from Brooklyn. Larry King, is in the film. Oscar Robertson, David Stern. Everybody just wanted to do this film because they had so much respect for what this man accomplished in his career.
Well, I feel a bit embarrassed because, you're saying all these people who knew him and loved him and worked with him and have enormous respect for him. And I began by saying, not many people know about Marty Glickman, but really an awful lot of people knew about him. I guess it's my ignorance. But
No, it's not, actually. That's one of the reasons I'm making the film. It's like, when people would say, when I would talk about Marty and I'd moved to St. Louis and then San Francisco and Los Angeles finally, no one knew who he was, and I was stunned by that. But when you grow up, you don't think your local announcer is not known everywhere. That's all you know. But in New York, for a certain generation, if you were a sports fan in the latter half of the 20th century in the New York area, Marty Glickman was part of the soundtrack of your life. I mean, it was that simple. And back then, television was not as prominent. So the radio, that's how you saw the game. As people said, I saw it on radio with Marty last night, or Larry King had a great line, he was television on radio.
That's wonderful. So he was really able to paint a picture in words.
He called it a word's eye picture. And people don't know this. Even sports he invented, basically, or revolutionized radio basketball play-by-play. Announcers today, and in the film, Marv Albert, Bob Costas, Mike Breen all talk about it, that they are using terminology that he came up with. If you're a basketball fan, the key, the lane, the midcourt stripe, and his most famous phrase ever, swish.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't know this originated from him.
That's great. So he could even be in the dictionaries, certainly the sports dictionaries.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Let's talk about visually very briefly. This is not a Talking Heads movie. You said
not at all.
You talked about the difficulty of getting footage, but I imagine you did get some footage, some athletic footage, I hope, and either him running or one or two games included.
Several races of his, and I was able to get one through Paramount Newsreels, and they were able to do a 35 nitrate print transfer for me. So, I mean, it's incredibly clear, and you feel like you're back in 1935 watching him run. And I got Syracuse University donated all his football footage, and I have Marty's home movies, 16 home movies, millimeter. And the footage I got for this film was just astonishing because of all the organizations and people who love this man and were, wanted to see this be the best it could be.
Well, that's really wonderful. And we should remind listeners that this is part of the Kol Noah series, which, of course, are Jewish-themed movies. And Phil, of course, concentrates on issues of social justice. And ultimately, history came around and gave justice to Marty Glickman.
Yes, and I actually... I didn't set out to make a Jewish film. On some level, don't think of it as a Jewish film. It's really about racism and prejudice, which is a universal story to most groups. And Marty happened to be Jewish. That's sort of how I look at the film.
Right. Well, I'm going to pass you back to Phil Levasseur for a last word or two and a comment, maybe.
All right.
And it's really been great talking to you. We're looking forward to
you
seeing
too,
this film very, very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Harry. Philip Vassar here with The Art of Peace, and we're running out of time, but I just want to give you, James Friedman, director of Glickman, kind of the last word, where it's playing locally, and if you're going to be in town.
Yes, it is playing this Sunday. It makes its world premiere at the Metro 4 Theater in Santa Barbara, January 29th at 5 p.m. It will be playing again on Friday at 10 a.m., February 3rd, I believe that is, at the Santa Barbara Museum. And I will be in town for both showings, and if you're there, please come by and say hi. I have a nice contingent of friends in L.A. who are making the trip up. And I guarantee you a very fun, emotional sports documentary, and really almost a political documentary more than a sports documentary. But it's you come out of here feeling something, so people have told me anyway, really with tremendous admiration for this man that his story is finally being told. And I'm just happy I got a chance to tell it.
Well, we're glad to have talked to you, and I want to wish you all the luck, and we're looking forward to seeing this film very much indeed.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you, James.
All right. Thank you, Phil. Thanks.